All right. Well, praise the Lord. Glad to be with y'all again this morning. Thankful to be back. Just want to bring greetings from those we visited in the different countries, Mexico and Peru and Argentina and Brazil. All of them send their greetings to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Fill us with your Spirit, O God, to do your will. And Lord, we just thank you again. Lord, we ask that you would send forth laborers into your harvest, Father. Lord, that you'd help us rise up to the call of this world, Father. Again, we just thank you. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord of harvest, send forth reapers. That's a prayer that Jesus commanded us to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth reapers. Our time on this earth is but a span. And whatever we wind up doing in this life is nothing compared to doing the Lord's will. And the Lord's will is that men would return to Him. And I think we need to ever keep that in our hearts and on our minds, that men would repent and enter the kingdom of God. That's the whole purpose of why God created man, so that man could be with Him. So we want to pray the Lord of the harvest. But as we pray that prayer, that the Lord don't forget that you could be praying for yourself to be a part of that harvest. Offer yourself before you offer to send somebody else. All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I want to read verse 10. This is the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I want to move over to chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50. Starting 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them, to him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. I want to talk this morning about the will. Man's will. Your will. What is the will? The will is, whenever you go back into the different languages, we get our word will, and it comes from the word power. You get in Spanish and they use the word poder, and it's the word power. Whenever you say you can do something or you will do something, you use the word power. I'm giving my power to do something. Jesus said, and the Bible talks about whosoever will. And then He talks later about that God's promises are based on His will. If you look at the word will, oftentimes I will do this for them and I will do that for them if they do what I want. So the word will is the power that God puts behind fulfilling His promises, because He says He will. He will put all His power behind it, all His might. These verses that we've used, where we've used the word will, Jesus has used it and He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father." And these are the people that are my brethren and my mothers and my sister, those that do the will of my Father. I want to talk about the will this morning. Our will is the only thing that God will not usurp power over. He has created you with a will. A will that can make a choice to devote itself, to give its power to whatever you want to give it to. You can determine your will to give it to whatever you want. That's the way you were created. That is what makes you a human being, is because you have a will to make a choice, to choose who you will serve. Mankind has chosen to serve themselves. They've chosen to serve the God of this world. And God will not go against that will. God won't even let Satan go against that will. That will is the thing that you possess that you have power over. It's your power. It is what makes you a human being. If you yield that will to someone else, then you're giving them power over your life. When you yield yourself to sin, you're giving your power to allow that sin to become your controller. It has the power over you now. Whenever you yield yourself to do what's right, then you yield yourself to God so that He can guide you. You're giving your will to Him. The will is where your salvation lies. We're often accused of trying to work our way to heaven because we obey the Lord. And that is not what we're trying to do. We are trying to yield our wills so that our will is in line with God. It's not about the performance that we put on. It's not about what we do, do this, do that. We have surrendered our will to do God's will. And that is what brings the power in our life from God. It's that surrendering of our will. People do not understand that because they don't want to. They don't want to understand that their salvation lies in their own will. We're accused, just the other night or last night, we were accused that you're just trying to take all the glory for yourself and not give any to God. God, Christ, has initiated the opportunity for us to be saved. But He will not go against our will to do that. The things that God presents in His book and that Christ has given us in His Word are the things that God knows are standing between you and Him. He mentions the things in the Bible, not as a big fat rule book that we've got to obey, but as a thing that shows areas in men's lives and women's lives that their will is against God. And so we see these things in His book and in His Word that shows us they look like laws, they look like rules that we can't do, or we, and all they're trying to do is be a schoolmaster to show us God's will and my will. And those two are at odds with each other. And God is trying to show us, this is my will. This is what I want out of your life. And we're saying, oh, He's just wanting rules. No, He's saying, I want your will. Because when your will is surrendered to my will, our wills will be the same. That's where peace comes from. That's where rest comes from. Because my will is now not trusting in my own works and my own efforts. It's surrendered to God's will. That is the difference. Right there is the heart between salvation and dead works. We obey God because our wills are surrendered to please Him. Our wills are to do His will. Not my will, but thine be done. Not a bunch of rules, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. We've learned, or are learning, the mind of God, the mind of Christ, and we just keep our will surrendered. That's why I think some people say, you know, I think that's the difference between so many who think that they're obeying God because they're keeping rules. They think that they're obeying God because they're a part of a church, or they've been baptized right, or they've done this, or they've done that, because they're trying to please God by doing their rules, but God's never touched their will. That is the purpose of our preaching, is to awaken a man's conscience to do to the will of God. That is going to be misunderstood. That is going to be completely not even in the vocabulary of most people. But our responsibility is to awaken men's hearts to the will of God. Bring them to the cross in their life where they have to take their will and say, not my will, but thine be done. Their will has to be on that cross and be crucified so that they can enter into the life of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is made up of people whose wills have been surrendered to the will of Christ and to do God's will. That's what Jesus talks about all the way through. That's what He prays about. Even Himself faced the temptation. Whenever He was in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before He was to be crucified, His will was still in a war. He said, Lord, I don't want to do what is before me. This cup that I look into, that I see, whatever is in there, is hard. I don't like it. And if there's any way possible, take it away from me. He prayed that prayer so burdened in that battle that his sweat became drops of blood. So much pressure, so much stress, so much so strong was that battle that it brought the great drops of blood. And then he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He knows the struggle for the will of man. He knows the temptations for the will of man. He prayed deeper to keep his will, stronger, harder to keep his will surrendered to God than anyone. He knows what it means to have a war for his will. And when he finished, he said, "Thy will be done." Here's a man in great agony praying all night. "I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through this." But then he finally got to the place where he had his will surrendered to do God's will. And the next day, he went to the cross. They destroyed his body. They nailed it to a cross. They mocked him. And he didn't even open his mouth to complain one word. His will was surrendered to do God's will. He was at peace. He was at rest. Because it didn't matter what happened to him anymore. He was doing the will of the Father. Whenever there's contention in your life, strife in your life, anxiety in your life, the cares of this life, you know how do you fix all that? You keep your will surrendered completely to God. I think that's where it's all at. That's where our victory is. That's how we overcome sin. You want to get rid of some sin in your life? Get down to the will that's driving that sin. That's how you overcome it. You have something bothering you in your life you're striving with continually? Get down to the will. It may take a while. But whenever you get to your will, that's when things happen. Whenever you just give up. Christ came into this world to give us our will back. Jesus Christ had to battle this great battle of this will Himself so that He could whip Satan and take the keys of death and hell from him and return our will back to us so that we could make a choice freely to be set free from Satan's bondage. To be set free from sin. To be set free from the things that trouble our lives. That trouble our lives. Not that bring us trouble. There's a difference. We're going to have trouble. It's going to come. There's going to be problems. But they don't have to trouble us. They don't have to bother us. They don't have to break our peace down. All we have to do is go through them. All we have to do is keep our will surrendered to Christ's will. I think that's why the martyrs and those that we look up to so much, how they were able to go through what they did. How someone's able to lay in a prison and rot away. How someone's able to be burned at the stake because they found their will in God's will. That makes God a big God. Whenever we can say, Lord, Thy will be done. Whatever You want from my life is Yours. And I'll give it to You. We've got so many today laboring under a false will, a false sense of submission, a false idea that if I just do a little more, then God will accept me. I've got to reach out and go a little further than everybody else. That means my will is surrendered. And people build on things like that. They get a little more righteous than everybody else. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to be stricter than everybody else. I'm going to go farther than everybody else on what everybody else is doing. That's just a pretty good sign of a will that's not surrendered. A will that's surrendered doesn't have to compete to be the holiest in town. A will that's surrendered doesn't have to worry about their reputation, because they know their will is surrendered to God. You know, sometimes we're just so worried about what people think of us. We're just so worried about, you know, do they think I'm a nice person? Or do they think I'm a good person? Or do they think I'm a godly person? And we try to build up our reputation so the people will see that we're godly. Or the people will we just want everybody to think well of us. We want to have a good reputation. We wouldn't do that because someone might think it was wrong. Or we just try to keep our hands pretty clean of anything that's a little questionable because of our reputation, because we're trying to keep our reputation. Our reputation is probably one of the first things that need surrendered to God. Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." Jesus said, "Blessed are they when they revile and curse you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake." Let the tongues wag and crucify your reputation. God still knows who you are. God still knows who you are. And that's all that matters. My will is surrendered to God's will. I don't have to impress anybody. We hope to be a light of the world, but the way you be a light of the world is like Jesus was. He was of no reputation. When He came into the world was created by Him, and the world didn't even know who He was. He was despised and rejected of men. He was a nobody. And when He tried to do something, everybody said, "Who is that trying to make Himself something?" Whenever we lose our will, it doesn't matter. Then we can get free from those chains and just be what God wants us to be. Our will it is the heart of our faith. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in by yielding myself to God's will and doing what He wants me to do. The battle, I don't know how many times I've seen this when preaching to people. Just to lay out the very simple things that Jesus tells us to do and how to live, how to obey, and what He wants from us, how we're to love our enemies. And you lay those things out, non-resistance, purity in marriages, not swearing oaths, not being a part of this world, not laying up treasures in heaven, how to dress modestly, decently, how to do the things the Bible says. And everybody says, well, that's really simple. But then you ask them if they'll do it. They say, no, it's too hard. The only thing that makes it hard is because they don't want to do it. It's in their will. It gets a little tougher whenever we're raised this way. You know, we're just doing all of these things, or we're just trying to do them to please. But our will's still there, isn't it? Sometimes we kind of get crossways whenever somebody doesn't say all the right things about us. Sometimes when we think we're misunderstood, or sometimes somebody tries to tell us that we're doing wrong, someone just challenges our reputation, we get all testy about that sometimes, and our will comes up. We want to get mad about it. We want to hold a grudge. We want to think evil about them. We want to start finding some dirt on them. That's your will. One of the things Jesus said, if you will not forgive, neither will I forgive you. The reason we don't like to forgive is because our will is standing right there in between us and God. We'd rather have something other than God. Our will. We can do all the outward things. We can have all the appearances of righteousness on the outside. And everybody think well of us. And our will standing there shaking its fist at God Almighty. God sees our wills. And it comes out in bad attitudes and grumpiness and everybody watching out what you say around them because they're liable to explode. Worried about what's going to happen. Getting all anxious about what the government's going to do to us. I'm more worried about standing before a holy God and having my will surrendered to Him than what any man can do to me. That's where our battle is. Stuff coming out in your heart and in your life that you don't like. Look at your will. Are you truly surrendered? Do you have peace whenever everything goes wrong? Or do you get all worried about it? You're worried about the future. Who's going to take care of you? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? It's in our will. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. You know why He said that? Make another rule? No. Just another way of showing you where your will is. Just another way of showing you where your will is. It's He that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's not about just keeping all the rules. It's not about just obeying right and left everything that we see. It's about a surrendered will to do what God wants you to do. Read a couple of things here. It's relating to wives. The Bible says, "For wives, to submit yourselves to your own husbands." Wives, give your will to your own husbands. As unto the Lord. What does it mean, as unto the Lord? That means, as a disciple of Christ, submits his will to Christ. To do his will, a woman is to submit herself to her husband to do his will. And as she submits herself to her husband to do his will, is because her will is submitted to Christ. If her will isn't submitted to her husband, it is not submitted to Christ. And we can see some pretty clear examples of a false surrender. And I want to read some things here. Daughters of Sarah. There's two or three things. "You do not need to be concerned with whether your husband is right or wrong, or whether he has prayed or heard from the Lord. You only have to be concerned with your heart attitude. You are right with God when you're obeying your husband with a submissive spirit. The rest is between God and your husband." The only thing that you control, the only thing that you have control of in your life is your attitude. And that is controlled by your will. You can't control whether it rains or whether the sun shines or whether you have a good day and good things happen or a bad day and bad things happen. But you can control your will and you can control your attitude. That is all you possess. And your will and your attitude will be with you when everything on this earth is burning. All your worldly possessions, all your relationships, everything will be destroyed except your will. And your will either be reunited with God, or it'll be rebellious in hell with Satan. The only thing in your life you have is your will. Woman, doesn't matter whether he's prayed or heard from the Lord. What's your attitude? We're not responsible for anyone else. We're responsible for ourselves and how we respond. It doesn't matter what anybody does to you. It's how you respond. "Oh, they're not fair." How'd you respond? "They're cheating me. I got a bad deal." How did you respond? "They're all picking on me. They're all ganging up on me. Shame on them." How'd you respond? That's where our will is. You're right with God when you're obeying your husband with a submissive spirit. The rest is between God and your husband. I think a lot of times the anxiety in wives and children is because somebody's not where they're supposed to be. Whether that's a husband that didn't trust in the Lord and putting pressure on his wife, causing her stress, and she's stressed out because she's not trusting in the Lord and letting her husband take care of it. And that just trickles right down to the children. They're nervous. They're scared. All because somebody's will is in the way. Maybe in the husband, it may be in the wife. Maybe in the children. But whoever lets it tear up everything, that's their problem. Your father, your mother may be terrible. They may be the worst parents there are. But how you act about that is your problem. God's not going to listen to any excuses. Well, my father did this to me, or my mother did this to me. They were so mean to me. That's why I don't believe in God. That's why I left the church. Those people are terrible. Well, it don't matter what those people are doing. You're going to give an account for yourself. To obey is better than sacrifice. Another quote from this book. We can be very busy doing all kinds of good works in the name of the Lord, but they are useless if we are not obeying His word and our husbands. When we are obeying our husband, we are obeying God. People want to be evangelists. They want to be busy about doing the Lord's work. You know, one thing I've noticed, that whenever a will is not surrendered to God and their conscience is enlightened, that they know that there's a problem, they're about the busiest person there is in a church. They're about the busiest person there is. But it's artificial. There's people that are busy and have their will surrendered. And then there's people just trying to make sure they're making a lot of sacrifices. It's costing them something to do something. They're making sacrifices to do the Lord's work. And all He wants them to do is surrender. You get the foundation laid, and your light will shine farther than you could ever imagine it shining out of His will. Because if you're out of His will, it ain't shining at all. What you're doing is just pure darkness with a lot of worldly sparkle to it. And it's worthless. If you don't have the foundation laid, you don't have nothing. A lot of religious people that are doing a lot of religious things in the name of the Lord, and they're doing it for the Lord. They're making sacrifices for the Lord, but their will is far from Jesus. Their will is far from being surrendered. And it'll all be in vain. Even more so, it'll be worse than vain. Because it'll be shown to be a hypocrite. You knew all these things, and you tried to cover it up. trying to use them to cover your will. To obey is better than sacrifice. There's a lot of people that are stirring around thinking that they're pleasing their husband, trying to sacrifice themselves to do things for his will, trying to sacrifice himself, trying to please, trying to impress him, trying to win him, trying to change him, trying to do all of those things. Trying to impress him. And yet never getting to the will. Never getting to the will. To yield yourself to the opinion of another. To yield your will to someone else's ideas. And you lay yours down. To their opinion and not mine. Not trying to supplant it. Not trying to change it. Not trying to manipulate it. Just carrying it out. Our salvation is in our will. That's where rest comes. That's where peace comes. That's where the show drops off. And I have to quit, don't have to impress anybody. All I have to do is do His will. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. The Lord knows. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. All I have to do is to go through whatever He brings my way. That's what it means to be submitted to God. I don't have to worry. The economy is going to collapse tomorrow. What am I going to do? All I have to do is go through it. The government may come and close the church down tomorrow. What do I have to do? All I have to do is go through it. They may take all our pictures and put them on the internet and tell everybody how bad we are. What do I got to do? All I got to do is go through it. The rumors may be going all over town about you. What do you got to do? All you have to do is go through it. Man on the preacher up in the street, preacher up in Springfield Friday night, devoted about half of his message to the lost, 85% of his outreach to the poor, wicked sinners of Springfield to us Friday night. He went through and read our signs and told each one how false they was. He came to the one on homosexuality. And he said, yeah, that's a sin. But he said, it isn't no worse than any other sin. In fact, it doesn't have a curse on it like it does to those over there across the street that are bringing a false gospel. There's a curse on people that bring a false gospel. Homosexuality doesn't even have that. Cursed are you! Praise the Lord. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. He just blessed us while he thinks he's cursing us. We don't have to defend our reputations. If it hurts, it's probably because there's some pride there. Probably some place that isn't surrendered. Probably some place that, ouch. The reason it hurts is because there's pride. Sometimes we get our pride hurt. Sad thing is, don't worry about it. It'll probably heal. Sad thing is our pride will get better. Instead of letting it kill us. All we have to do is keep our wills surrendered to God. Keep our wills surrendered to those above us. That's where contention comes. Wives, keep your wills surrendered to the opinion of your husband. You'll be amazed at how much better he thinks. How much wiser he soon becomes. Children, obey your parents. If you think they're pretty stupid now and you don't like what they're telling you and you don't think they know what they're doing, try submitting a while. Try yielding your will to them for a while and you'll be amazed how wise they are. Somebody's making a false accusation against you. All you have to do is go through it. You'll be amazed how different things look. And how maybe they were a little smarter than you thought. Our salvation lays right here. Our salvation is right there. And it's the only thing you have control of in your life. May the Lord have His blessings, or add His blessings to His words. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we pray that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us be faithful to You in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to have anything you want to share? Well, Lord willing, we'll go to Verona and take the Verona exit and go in towards Verona and then back to the south there. It'd be under the bridge there that's of Spring River.
That's where we're going to go have the baptism. So we'll just head over there and all right. Anybody else have anything to share? We'll meet back here this evening at 6. Have a fellowship, supper, and communion. Do ask for prayer for Eva, Raj's wife. She's had surgery this week. So pray for her. Pray for the others that are sick. Pray for each other. Pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers. Lord bless you.